God, and once again, good morning, brothers and sisters. And once again, welcome back, and a little thought for you for the day. There's only two things in the world that everybody's interested in. Only two things. Do you know what those two things are? A person and a story. Everybody's interested in a person and in a story. If I really wanted to capture your attention, I would begin every homily by saying, once upon a time. Because everybody loves a story. And if I really wanted to capture your attention, what? Maybe I might just tell you biographies of saints up here from the pulpit, because everybody's interested in a person. Only two things everyone's interested in: person and a story. Why is that? Why is that? Well, first of all, it's because we are made for persons. Don't ever forget that. You're made in God's image. And God is nothing but persons. Father, Son, Spirit. That's why the only thing that matters in life are other persons. Honestly, every other thing that we could possibly have in life only exists for the support and well-being of other persons. And the other thing that we're all interested in is a story. And the reason for that is not quite as intuitive. The reason for that is because whether you know it or not, you are right now where you sit in a story. It's ongoing. All the world's a stage, William Shakespeare once said, and we are merely players. Now, that's not literally true, but it's figuratively true. Because whether you know this or not, you and you and you and you and all of us, you and every single person in the world is a character in an unfolding story. God is the author and playwright. He's the director and he's the producer. Every single person in the world plays a role in this story. Now, don't get me wrong. Doesn't mean that everything's scripted, right? You have your free will. However, it's interesting to note that no matter what you do, whether you strive to do God's will or strive to do the opposite of God's will, everything you do advances the greatest plot, or the greatest story that has ever been told. I don't know the details, but I can tell you the ending. It's so beautiful that it's going to make you weep for joy. That's why we all care about a story. But you know, the biggest trouble in life is when we get that backwards. When we forget that we are characters in God's story, we begin to think that God and everybody else in the world is a great big character in my story. We begin to think that you and you and you and you and everybody else in the world is nothing but a wonderful supporting cast for a great big drama starring me. And even God himself, it's nothing but a backdrop in the great big story of me. Now admit it, lots of people live their lives as though that were true. They might not literally think they're in a story, but my goodness, you know, they live their lives as though it's all about me. And that is a recipe for unhappiness. And that is a recipe for great anxiety. What we're doing here in this church, you could say, is this, is turning that around. The beginning of Christian discipleship is to realize that it's not all about me. To realize that I am a part in God's bigger plan. The beginning of Christian discipleship, and in addition, it's the beginning of happiness, of peace, and you could say it's even the beginning of sanity. I saw a tapestry once. Now, a medieval tapestry. Let me try to describe this to you, okay? Imagine this. Imagine a tapestry, and it depicts this great big circle. And all around the outside of the circle is a story of a man's life. And it looks like this. Up on top of the circle, if you could imagine, it's like the face of a clock, 12 o'clock on the clock face. Here's this man, and he's in complete control of his life. He's king of all that he sees. He's got a crown on his head, scepter in his hand, orb in his hand. He's dressed in royal robes. He's in command of his life. But it doesn't stay that way for very long. Comes to 3 o'clock on that clock face. He's fallen off of his throne. His crown's fallen off of his head. His royal robes are falling off him. He's losing control of his life. Things are bad, and they're only getting worse. Down at the bottom of that clock, 6 o'clock on the clock face. Poor guy's hanging upside down by his feet, crown's off his head, orb and scepter are long gone, he's hit rock bottom. At 9 o'clock on that clock face, guy's got determination in his eye. He's going to climb back up to the top. He's going to regain what he lost until at last, once again, back up at 12 o'clock, he rules and reigns in his control of everything in his life. And again and again and around it goes. The tapestry was a metaphor for life. And it's supposed to make you realize that all the time you're always gaining and losing. There's always something you have right now and you're afraid of losing it. There's always something in your life that's bad and don't worry, it's getting worse. There's always a moment in your life in which you're at rock bottom. There's always a moment in which you're climbing back up. And you know that cycle is the source of all of our anxiety. But what made the tapestry really interesting was with the center. Because at the center of that circle was an image of Christ and his cross. With the message being that in a world you cannot control, in a world that is spinning beyond your control, there is one place that never moves. There's one place that's always still, always at peace. It's in the center, with God and his will and his cross. The further away you get from that center, the more disoriented and anxiety-filled your life becomes. Long ago, once I tried to become a monk. I mentioned this before. I tried to become a monk, and I flunked. The name of the order was the Carthusians, and their motto was Stat crux dum volvitur orbis. The cross stands still while the world spins. That's the secret of peace, brothers and sisters. That's where we want to go. I love the way St. Paul said this in the second reading, letter to the Philippians. He said, have no anxiety about anything at all. I love that. Because Paul wrote those words while he was in jail. Do you know that? Anytime you hear a reading from St. Paul's letter to the Philippians, remember this. Paul wrote Philippians when he was in jail, awaiting his own execution. He's going to have his head lopped off. And he says, have no anxiety at all. And just goes to show you that it's possible. But it's only possible from one place, and it's not out on the periphery of that circle. It's only possible when you are at the center with Christ and his cross and his will. You've got to be careful. It's not a place you like to go. And that's what the gospel is all about. The gospel tells us this parable of the workers in the vineyard. Do you know this is the last parable Jesus ever told in his life? Last parable he ever told. He told this on Tuesday of Holy Week, which means that in just 3 days he's going to be crucified. Yeah, you got to give it a little bit of extra importance knowing that. And he says, you know, there's a landowner, and he's got this vineyard, and he sends these representatives to the vineyard, but boy, do they get mistreated. They get stoned, they get beaten, and they even get killed. Lastly, he says, I'll send my son. And they'll respect them. You know what that parable stands for? When Jesus originally told it, he was talking to the Jewish people about how they mistreated the prophets and how they weren't going to accept him either. But for you and me, it's a warning. And if you know yourself, you know this is true. You only think you want to do God's will. The truth of the matter is, all of us resist it like a stubborn donkey. Who's the owner of the vineyard? God is. Who are the laborers working in the vineyard? That's you and me. Who are the people who are coming to the laborers? Well, that pretty much represents any time at all we hear God's will. We don't like it. We rebel. We fight back. Somebody once said, can you make a parishioner upset in 6 words or less? I said, yes, I can. God is more important than sports. Everybody gets upset. Anytime anybody reminds you that God comes first. You know, we say that until we realize that it has teeth. And I went to a ski lift a bunch of years ago. I was at a ski resort talking to this man. He says, "What do you do for a living?" It's the kind of thing that happens when you're sitting on a ski lift. He says, "I'm a priest." And he starts going off about this and about that. And I realized after a moment that the things that you were upset about in the church were things that actually cost you. Like, nobody gets upset about communion. Nobody gets upset about baptism. But if you bring up contraception, suddenly, oh, no, wait a minute. We resist God's will. And the greatest temptation of all, the temptation is as old as the Garden of Eden, is this idea that if we can just get rid of the son, if we can just get the son of the vineyard owner out of our lives, then everything will be ours. Great big inheritance. Absolute lie of the devil. See, it's the same lie he told Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. You think everything's going to go well if you can just expel God out of your life. And for a short while, it actually seems to work that way. Storm a bunch of weeks ago, big windy storm, you might remember. After that storm was over, one of the trees around here had a great big branch ripped off the tree. And you know how it is when a branch gets ripped off the tree. You know, you go up to it, and from all external appearances, that ripped off branch appears perfectly healthy, right? The leaves are supple and lithe, and everything appears just as it was when that branch was on the tree. And imagine, what would happen if that branch had a voice? What would happen if it could speak? What might it say? Just maybe that branch would say, "Hey, hooray, I'm free from the confines of the tree, right? Finally, I'm free." But you know as well as I do, it's destined to wither and die. Prodigal son is another good example. Remember the story of the prodigal son? And the prodigal says to the father, "Give me my inheritance, and at last I'll be king of the world." I don't know, I guess for a few days there, while he was spending away the money, he was king of the world. But he ended up living with the pigs, right? Living with the swine. The devil promises the world and he takes everything away. It's a great, big lie. The only path to freedom is to be in the center with Christ and his will and his cross. If you lack peace in your life right now, means that somewhere you're living out on the periphery. You're not back in the center yet. You want to get back to the center? Let me give you three ways to do it. Three ways to put Christ, or maybe I should say three ways to get back into the center where Christ is. Number one, ask yourself this question. Am I doing God's will or am I committing deliberate sin? Just be honest and ask yourself that question. Stop fooling yourself. Number two, do I trust God or not? Number three, do I love the people who God has placed in my life? Think of that as like a checklist. You want to put Christ in the center? Ask yourself these questions. Do I do God's will or am I living in deliberate sin? You know, if you live in deliberate sin, just don't say you weren't warned. God tells us his law kind of like your car has an owner's manual. You know, if you ignore the owner's manual in your car, don't be surprised when it breaks down. When God tells us don't commit this sin, don't do it, he's doing it in greatest love. A lot of people, they wreck their own lives and then point the accusing finger at God saying, "Where have you been?" And God says, "You're the one who walked away from me." I heard a story once of a man who was driving his car, right? His wife, for many years, is on the far, far end of what was a great big bench seat. And they drive along and they see this other couple and, you know, they're so close together, this man and this woman in this other car, you couldn't fit a piece of paper between them. Wife says to the husband who's got his hands on the wheel, says, "Why aren't we that close anymore?" The husband answered, "I never moved." If you want to know who moved, just, you know, look in the mirror. Secondly, do you trust God or don't you? Understand this, God doesn't make mistakes. His will might be mysterious, but it's perfect. You are where you're supposed to be, and the circumstances of your life, even if they're unpleasant at the moment, are part of your salvation. Trust him, and you will find peace. Number three, do you love the people that are in your life? It doesn't mean you're going to like them. Like is an emotion. Love is a will. You choose to love somebody, And it's not always easy. If you love them, if you trust the Lord, and if you do His will, that's how you put Him right back in the center where it belongs. So, you know, nothing you don't already know today, just a little tiny reminder. You're not the author of this story, you're just a character in it. You're not the owner of this vineyard, you're just a worker. At the end of it all, there's going to be a judgment, and that's okay. That's okay. Because if you remember to put the Lord at the center, it's the beginning of peace, happiness, and even sanity. So, in a world that you cannot control, spinning out of control, don't you worry, not one bit. Because the one who can control it and does knows you, loves you, and calls you. That's why I'm so fond of saying, if today you hear His voice, harden not your hearts.